This is What Matters Most, and I'm Matt Popovitz. Look, life is crazier than ever, and lots of people, maybe even you, are feeling anxious and overwhelmed. Today's message is designed to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. Because life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I'd like to give you a resource, something to help you navigate the road ahead. Just go to mattpopovitz.com, click on the icon, and we'll send it to you. That's mattpopovitz.com. And hey, if you happen to live in the Houston area, I'd love to see you on a Sunday morning at St. Mark in Spring Branch. Head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. Here's today's message. Thanks for listening.
How is it that your brother gets fired from his job, a job that he loves, a job that he's respected in, for looking up something stupid on his computer? How is it that your cousin, who is always posting the most beautiful and perfect pictures on Facebook, sends you a message one day telling you that she has been contemplating suicide? How is it that the people we know and we live with and we spend our lives with can be seemingly fine and then all of a sudden have their lives stampeded by something we and conceivably they never saw coming? There are complicated factors that go into all of the things I just described, but there's also the simple truth that sometimes we fail to understand that if we allow a big issue to be in our lives unaddressed, that big issue can run over us. That if we allow ourselves to live with elephants in the room, so to speak, we shouldn't be surprised if eventually the elephant runs over us. The thing about trying to live with a big issue in your life that you don't deal with, the thing about trying to live with an elephant in the room, is that if you don't deal with the elephant, eventually the elephant deals with you. And that's how lives blow up in a surprise. This morning, we are starting a new teaching series called, you guessed it, The Elephant in the Room, where we're going to talk about the fact that there are so often big issues in our lives that go undiscussed, unaddressed, undealt with until they deal with us or someone we love. And my hope for you as your pastor and your friend, my hope for us is that we would see that it doesn't have to be that way. That the message of forgiveness and grace that's found in Jesus Christ invites us to admit the elephants, to address them, and even though they're big and scary, to deal with them with freedom and grace. I want to share some statistics with you, and I'm just going to say up front that this morning's message is going to be a little heavy, but important. Some statistics. According to one new book, a significant majority of self-described happily married women contemplate divorce on a regular basis. Also, roughly 10% of people in this room, starting at the age of 12, are messing with some sort of illegal substance and abusing others. 47% of Christians admit that pornography is an issue in their home. 47%. Major depression is a hidden struggle for 8% of the population. And someone tries to end their life about every 40 seconds. The average American home is struggling, not just with money, but paying the rent and student loans and carrying on average $15,799 in credit card debt. If even half of those statistics hold up, what it means is that there are a lot of us dealing with some big elephants in our lives. Elephants in our living rooms, our bedrooms, on our computers, in our workplaces, in our marriages. Elephants all over the place, and yet you wouldn't know it by looking. We all look so buttoned up. We look so put together. We don't look like we're trying to tame an elephant in our house. We look like we've got life together. And if you ask us, how are things going, which is a great opportunity to say, oh, there's this big issue in my life. We all say the same thing. Good. Busy. But good. Which means there is an epidemic of elephant ignoring among human beings. And I would dare to say that Christians are some of the most guilty. That for many followers of Jesus, if you're here as a follower of Jesus, that for many followers of Jesus, there is this assumption that putting on a pleasant face and pretending life is all right is what God wants from us. That God is kind of the stringent parent who looks at us and says, hey, before you go out into the world, I want you to tie your tie. I want you to make sure everything is straight and make sure no one sees that you're a mess. It reminds me of Halloween. Halloween's next month. It's a favorite thing in our house. Every year I dress up as the same thing. I dress up as a candy-stealing parent. It's a great thing about having kids. You always have to check the candy for what strangers might have put in it, right? Which I only recently realized is a ruse for parents to get to pick the best candy. Oh, it looks like Dad's going to have to test all of this, except Tootsie Rolls. They're gross. I mean, safe. Tootsie Rolls are safe. Except you and I, we're not dressing up as Marty McFly or an Angry Bird. We tend to dress up as people who are fine. We tend to dress up as people who have no problems, no big unspoken issues, no lies we're telling ourselves, no elephants we're trying desperately to keep in the corner lest they stampede over us. We walk around as if it's Halloween all the time, dressed up as people who are fine. And yet, followers of Jesus are the people who should know better than most that we don't have to live that way. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 5, Paul writes this. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater. Now, Paul's covering everybody, every possible elephant you could have. He's not isolating any particular person. He's listing all of the types of unaddressed issues, rather, that human beings have in this particular section. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Paul says that the life of a Christian is a life of imitating God. And what does he say God has done for us? God has given in his son this drastic and sacrificial love. He reminds us that Christ has given his life to forgive our sins. And because of Christ's perfect life and his sacrificial death, you are clean. You are forgiven. And having received that love in your baptism, having received that love, a clean, forgiven person, which is what you are, baptized into Christ, we now have this calling, this opportunity to reflect who we are in Christ, to reflect the love that we've received. And the way in which we reflect the love that we've received is by exposing and dealing with our struggles rather than painting over them and living as if we have to hide them. Because of the forgiveness of Jesus, we have this freedom to be honest about who we are rather than hiding what we're dealing with. The work of Jesus compels forgiven people not to live as elephant ignorers, but as elephant hunters. I am not condoning the killing of actual elephants, just a heads up, just for the sake of the analogy. But here's what I know. Not only do Christians really struggle to live this out, but the world around us isn't helping us either. I don't know if you've ever found this to be true, but when you start getting certain things in your life in order, other people in your life can feel threatened by it. So if you start doing some spring cleaning in your apartment and you talk about it at work, people will say one of two things of, oh, I don't do that. Or I should probably do that too. They immediately see it through the lens of how it affects them. Or if you go on a diet, they say, oh, you don't need to lose any weight. Or I should probably do that too. They see it through the lens of how it affects them. You see, the thing is, the reason we do that is because whenever you start to deal with an elephant in your life, it convicts people about whether they are or are not dealing with the things in their life, and they'd rather not deal with them, so they'd be more comfortable if you didn't deal with yours either. And so the world constantly, in explicit and subtle ways, gives us the message that it's better for me if you stay the same. It works for me if you don't address the big issue, because if you address the big issue, I've got to address my big issue. Paul talks about this starting in verse 6. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. In other words, there are people telling you that the dark things in your life don't need to be dealt with. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Paul says that there is an attempt to deceive us taking place. It's an attempt to deceive us that comes from within us and comes from outside of us. An attempt to deceive that says, even though you now live in the light of mercy and grace and forgiveness, you should keep all these elephants in your house in the dark, locked up and unspoken about.
I hope you're enjoying today's message. For more of what matters most, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. There you'll find other messages. You can support this ministry as well as access your free gift. Oh, and if you're looking for a local church and you live in Houston, come and see what's happening at St. Mark Houston. To plan your visit, head to stmarkhouston.org. Thanks for listening, and back to today's message.
I would say to you, from personal experience and a lot of pastoral conversations, that there are three ways in which we try to live with the elephants in the room. Number one, we try to hide it. We try to hide the elephant. We try to keep others from noticing the issue in our life, because if no one else notices it, then maybe it doesn't really exist. I see this a lot with married couples that I'll work with as a pastor. No one in their life will know of their struggles. Not their best friends, not their parents, not their siblings. They can go out every week with other couples and talk openly about issues in life, but yet these other couples don't know that when doors close, they have massive and serious problems, because part of them believes that they can just keep the rest of the world from knowing about their issue, then there isn't really an issue. But here's the thing with trying to hide an elephant. Eventually, someone will notice. Someone will notice the giant footprints in your life. Someone will notice the peanut shells all over the floor, and they will say, is everything okay with you? And even if you can successfully hide the struggle, your shoulders will buckle under the burden of constantly trying to convince the world that you're fine. The second way we try to live with it is that we try to control the problem. We convince ourselves that we can tame the elephant. You see this a lot with folks who are dealing with a nasty habit or a deep addiction. They'll convince themselves, well, if I only get high once a week, then I've got things under control and it's not a problem. Or if I only look at pornography on my phone rather than my computer, that's better because it's a smaller screen, right? Or I'll only get really angry and like throw stuff and break stuff when it's really justified, not just when I'm annoyed. That's better, right? But what you discover when you try to tame an elephant is that the one with all the power isn't the person trying to tame, but the one with all the power is the issue you think you can control. The one being controlled isn't the beast with big ears, but the idiot who lets it live in his house. because you spend all of your time trying to tame a massive problem. Or the third thing that we do, rather than try to hide it or tame it, we try to convince ourselves that this big, difficult thing is actually somehow a good thing. We try to domesticate the elephant and convince ourselves that it's our pet. Oh, you know, it's a really good thing that I get high every day after work because it makes me calm to deal with the kids and I'm a better husband. Or you know what? It's a good thing that my wife and I, when we get into an argument, we throw things at each other and call each other horrible, horrible names because now we know how we really feel about each other and it creates closeness between us. I don't know if you've ever seen the show on Animal Planet called When Animals Attack. On that television show, there's always some guy who thinks it's a good idea to have a mountain lion as a pet. And he's convinced himself, oh, I'm the exception to the rule. I'm the one who can pet the mountain lion and not get ripped to shreds. And then, you know how the episode always ends? He gets ripped to shreds. Because the horrible thing you think you can domesticate at some point will bare its real teeth, will show its true colors, and you go to pet it, and it will leave you bleeding. You can't coincide with elephants. So what people of faith do with these big issues, what we're called to do, knowing we're forgiven, knowing we're loved, is we try to pull this issue into the light of that forgiveness and that love and wrestle with it in the context of our faith. That's what Paul is talking about in verse 13, where he says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Once you invite the truth and the love of Jesus in to deal with your elephants, the issues in your life, you experience freedom. Freedom. Now, I'm not saying that by dragging your issues out into the open and exposing them to the light of day means that you won't have repercussions. It means that you won't have some nastiness to wrestle with, that there won't be any fallout of your poor decisions or of your deep struggle. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that when we take our issues, our elephants, out of the corner and into the light of day, what you don't have to do is hide anymore. What you don't have to do is pretend anymore. What you don't have to do is lie anymore. Because the truth of Jesus allows you to see it for what it really is. And the love of Jesus keeps you from fearing it unnecessarily. When you bring something out into the light, the truth of Jesus helps you to see it clearly, and the love of Jesus keeps you from fearing it unnecessarily. So when I confront my issue and I bring it out into the open, the truth of Jesus, given to me in his word and through his people, allows me to see my struggles for what they really are, as dangerous, damnable, difficult things. So evil sometimes and so broken sometimes that they demanded a sacrifice in the form of the Son of God to cover over the evil in my life and in your life. That's how broken these things are. That's what the truth of God will tell you, that things can be so dark in your life and mine that they demanded the sacrifice of God's own Son in order to cover over them, forgive them, and pay the price for these things because somebody has to pay for them. But the love of Jesus tells you that there is no guilt or shame or fear for you. There should be no fear of judgment. Because though you have elephants in your life, Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. Because though you have tried to hide your issues and avoid accountability for your problems, Jesus Christ took upon himself your cross and took a punishment in your place so that he could be punished for your elephants and issues, so that you don't have to be punished for your elephants and issues. And now through faith in Jesus, though you look at these big issues in your life and you think, if anybody knew, I'd be lost, God the Father looks at you and he says, I see you wrapped in the mercy and the grace of Jesus. You see yourself in the shadow of an elephant. God the Father sees you in the shadow of the cross. And when we drag these issues out into the light, the truth tells us what they really are, really bad, but the love of God in Jesus Christ tells us who we are, forgiven, accepted, and free. which allows us to confess them without fear of being rejected for them. Now you might be thinking, Pastor Matt, this kind of makes sense. We all have issues that we're hiding. They're elephants. We hide them long enough, they end up hurting us or harming other people. We get that. Because of the forgiveness of Jesus, I don't have to fear judgment for this thing. Because of the truth of Jesus, I can rightly understand this thing. So I'm free to kind of expose this thing to the light of God's truth and God's love. I can kind of track with you there. But how do you do that practically? What's that look like? Here's what I think it looks like. I think it looks like, in some form or fashion in your life, if you've got a big elephant, a big issue that you're dealing with, I think it looks like this. In some relationship, in some setting, you being bold enough to stand up and say, I'm not okay. To be willing to say, I'm not okay. To say it to your pastor and know that I would never judge you for it. To say it to the people of God and know that they will help you walk through it. To say it in your own prayers and let God's word comfort you with a message of total mercy and absolute grace. To say it to a counselor or to a professional who God has called into that work so that they might be his hands and his feet and his help and his care to you. It all begins by saying, I'm not okay. And the freedom of Jesus Christ comes flooding to you in the form of his word, which will whisper words of forgiveness, his people, which will rally around you to love you, his pastors, which will absolve you and forgive you, and his workers, who are clinicians and doctors and whoever else you need to care for you as God's own hands and feet. The freedom of God comes rushing to you, but that doesn't start until you, convicted of it, stand up and say, I'm not fine. It's no longer Halloween at my house. I can't hide anymore. Paul ends this section of scripture, verse 15, with these words. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul ends by urging us to dig into our problems, to keep our lives honest as forgiven people, and to drag our elephants into the light of day by, quote, making the best use of time. The implication there is Paul is saying that most people start hunting down and dealing with their elephants way too late. And even if you deal with your elephant way too late, there is still mercy and grace that abounds for you. But lots of rooms will have been destroyed along the way. And it doesn't have to be that way. If something big and powerful and potentially dangerous shows up in your life where it doesn't belong, don't hide it or rationalize it. Refuse to live with it. Invite Jesus into it so that through his word you can see it rightly. Through his grace you can fear it not. And through the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can deal with it and find that on the other side, Christ's cross was enough for you. You're forgiven.
Hey, it's Matt. I hope you enjoyed What Matters Most. Here's what I need you to know. Life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I want to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. So for more content, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. That's Matt, P-O-P-O-V-I-T-S.com. There you can also support this ministry, as well as access your free resource, a little something to help you navigate the road ahead. I'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning. If you're in the Houston area, head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. In the meantime, Hit me up on Instagram at mpopovitz or at facebook.com/mattpopovitzministries. Thanks for listening. Now go and hold tight to what matters most.